Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
Good morning, church. Will we trust God with our bold prayers? We're ending this series today. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20. And as we open God's word, let's open our hearts in prayer. Father, do send your Holy Spirit. We've gathered in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you would be present by your Holy Spirit, and that you would open your word to us, and that you would open us to your word, that we can hear your voice, full of grace and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. This is a passage called the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil ones. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So there used to be this thing that we called waiting. We don't do it anymore, but we used to do it all the time. Does anybody remember waiting? I'll give you an illustration. I belonged to a music club. And in this music club, I would decide that there was a song that I wanted to hear, and there was music that I wanted to hear. I wanted to have a cassette tape of this music so that I could play it in my Walkman. How many people are following me right now? If I lost it, okay. And so here's how I would order these cassette tapes on my music club. I would go to the catalog and say, oh, that's a song that I want to hear. So I would choose that tape, and I would order that by sending a check. I would send a check in the mail, and the mail would go, and then I would do this thing that I'm talking about called waiting. Waiting. And I would wait for a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month before suddenly in my mailbox would come this little box full of cassette tapes. And I would take that cassette tape out, put it in my Sony Walkman, put my headphones on. I would hear the song that I wanted to hear a month ago. Waiting. Can you imagine? I mean, it's hard for some of you to imagine. Just driving down to church this morning, it's like, I really want to hear this one song. Boop, I put it on my phone. Boom, downloads, you know, here it is. But we used to have this thing called waiting. Well, see, here's the deal. We're finishing up this series on prayer, and if we're going to understand, there's something we need to understand, and if we can't really understand it without this concept, this phenomenon, waiting. And what is it? It's that sometimes we've prayed good things to a good God for a good kingdom, for good reason, and we haven't seen it come. We haven't seen it come. What do we do now? We wait. The war is over. We sing that in one of our praise songs. The war is over. Jesus has won the victory. He has won eternal life. But you know what? The battle rages on. And until that time, when we see all of God's promises fulfilled, until that time when everything has come, we're in this place that we call waiting. Waiting. Waiting and watching for the final resolution. Until then, we are in the battle. We're in the battle. That's our message today. We're in the battle. Sometimes in leading this church, I have this thing that I say. You've heard me say it if you've been around some of these meetings of church. I say, look, one of the mind shifts that we need to have as a church is we need to have a mind shift from being kind of thinking about our church as a cruise ship to thinking of our church as a battleship. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, sometimes in a church, you just get the idea in any church, but a church of our size, really, you get the idea that if I pay my ticket, I get my services. It's sort of like a cruise ship mentality. I just lay back and wait for, you know, for Linda to do it for me or whatever. But that's not church. And we know that's not church. We all know that. We just get hung up sometimes in that. Church is when we're all moving together for a purpose, where God has called us, all of us people together, to work for his glory together. And we've all got to bring our gifts and our talents and skills. And every one of us has an assignment. That's more like a battleship, you see. But some people don't like, you know, it sounds kind of militaristic. What's this militaristic kind of thing? I don't mean it to be militaristic. What it actually comes from is a moment when I was really feeling convictional about this, and I shared with some of the people around me. I said, you know what? You know what it feels like to be a pastor? You know what it feels like sometimes? It feels like you're the captain of a cruise ship and you're sailing into battleship combat waters. And do you know what that produces? Anxiety. I mean, imagine you're the captain of, like, you know, Fairy Princess Cruise Lines, you know, and you're headed into, like, there's torpedoes, you can see, there's like gunships, there's like all this stuff, there's, we can't be that way, right? See, sometimes we're not aware that we're in the battle. Sometimes we're just wandering through and we're not even aware. You've entered the crossfire. You're in a battle right now. And the worst thing about being in a battle is not knowing that you're in the battle. And being naive, caught off guard. One of the things that makes warfare so horrible in our times is how many civilians are involved. Isn't that a horror? You just don't want civilians involved in the combat zone. You remember the old days? You remember the Revolutionary War where they just lined up in lines and just, you know, ready, aim, fire? It seems so silly. At least you knew where the battle was. And you knew you were in the battle. The worst thing is being unaware, being naive. Someone says, Tim, it just feels like my life is, why does it feel like I'm in a battle? Because you are. You're in the middle of a war. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful, but you need to be aware and you need to be alert, because until Christ comes again, we're on the battlefield. There's a battle raging, and we win this battle on our knees. Let's look, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, if it just said, be strong, well, then I would despair. I would give up, wouldn't you? Like, we just said, come on, you're in the battle. Be strong. My son has a coach who sometimes just stands up on the sidelines and yells, do better. What? I would love to do better, you know. What? Be strong. I'd give up if that was it. But what does it say? It doesn't just say be strong. What does it say? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. What if I told you that if you believe in Jesus, if you open your life to Christ, that God, the Almighty God, is indwelling your life by his Holy Spirit, that God is inside of you? Could you be strong? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, verse 11, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Listen to me. This is the truth. The devil is out there. Satan is alive. And he is scheming and planning to try to wreck your life. And the only power that he has is deception. But if you believe his lies, if you believe in Christ, your soul belongs to Jesus. You belong to the kingdom of heaven. You've been adopted. You're a son. You're a daughter of the living God. He's never going to lose track of you. Jesus has never lost a single one of his sheep. He's the good shepherd. He will carry you home. There's no question about that. But what the devil can do is lie to you. And when you believe his lies, he uses that to wreck your life and to limit your effectiveness for the kingdom. What does the devil use? The devil uses lies and confusion, deception and darkness and shadows. Maybe you've heard this before. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Well, because then you'll just walk out onto the battlefield. You're in a battle. And you have an opponent. You have a spiritual opponent, a force of evil, who is working against you to wreck your life. Understand, don't be afraid, but be alert and be aware. There's a battle. The war is over, but the battle is still raging. The battle that we wage is what? It's not against flesh and blood, it tells us. The battle we're in is not against one another. It's not against other people. The battle is not against other people who are our ideological opponents. That's not who your battle is with. Your battle is not against people who disagree with you or who are on the other side from you or you know, secularists or atheists or people from other religions or philosophies. Your battle is not against them. Those who are deceived are victims, not enemies. Your battle is against who? It's against the dark forces, the spiritual powers. It's a spiritual battle against spiritual powers. This is our verse for this week, if you want to memorize a verse. So would you read this with me? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now listen, if that's true, if it's true that the battle you're in, put a real pin on it, like what battle are you in? That the battle you're in for your son's soul, the battle that you're in for your grandchildren's future, are you in a battle? If it's true that that battle is not primarily a political battle. That battle is not an ideological battle. That battle is not an economic battle. It's not a psychological battle. What kind of a battle is it? It's a spiritual battle. If that's true, if it's a spiritual battle you wage, how do you engage in that battle? Prayer. Prayer. We engage by prayer. One time the disciples were traveling with Jesus and they came across a little boy who had a dark spiritual force that was wrecking his life, and they couldn't stop it. They couldn't drive it out. But Jesus came and Jesus drove it out. So the disciples turned to him and said, "How'd you do that?" This is what he said in Mark 9. He replied, "This kind can come out only by what? By prayer." We'll come back to that. Okay, so that's the reality of the battle. Do I know I'm in a battle? The characteristics of the battle, it's a spiritual battle. Now, what's our combat gear? What's our equipment? What's our battle rattle? I remember years ago having a soldier come to a vacation Bible school, you know, and just show, like, this is my helmet. This is my Kevlar. These are my boots. You know, this is my battle rattle. I'm ready. I'm ready to engage. What is our battle? What equipment do we have? Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm then, put on the full armor of God. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All right, that's our spiritual armor, the armor of God. Let's go through it real quickly. Truth. Truth is the belt. It holds everything up. It holds everything together. Have you ever got caught wearing a pair of pants that's too big and you don't have a belt? Have you ever had that experience? Like a pair of pants, pair of shorts, like, oh my gosh. You know, what does that take? How comfortable is that? It takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? Like all day long, you're worried about, like, you're walking around trying to keep these pants. It takes everything you've got to keep your pants up. It takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? Listen, what does that tell you? Falsehood and lies take a lot of energy to hold up. You can almost kind of tell. Somebody's presented some idea and said, we all have to believe this now, and it won't stand up. It doesn't hold up. So what are you going to do? You're going to prop it up. You're going to run behind it. You're going to hold it up. You're going to force holding it up. It takes so much energy. It takes so much energy to hold up a lie. We don't deal in lies. The devil traffics in lies and deception and falsehood. We deal in the truth, the peace of the truth, binding everything together, holding everything secure, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. When we're accused, when something's coming out of our heart, when we're accused of our sins, it can't penetrate. Why? Because I have the breastplate of righteousness, a righteousness not won by me, but won for me by Jesus that I wear. Nothing can penetrate the heart. I've got shoes. I've got boots on my feet. They're the boots of the gospel of peace. My feet are pointed out toward whoever wants to hear the good news of what God has done in Jesus Christ to save my soul, to save their soul, to win eternal life for us. And there is peace in that good news. The gospel of peace is on my feet. What else do I have? I've got the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Faith. Faith in Christ, believing in God, believing in Jesus, trusting in what Jesus has done. It's like a shield. When the flaming arrows are coming your way, the flaming arrows of discouragement, attack, they just get put out like that. Martin Luther, he said, so when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of the God, of the living God. And where he is, I will be also. Amen. The shield of faith in Jesus just puts out the flaming arrows. And you've got the word, the sword. Oh, you got the helmet of salvation first, right? The helmet of salvation, what part of the body does that protect? It protects the head. What do you keep in your head? Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Do you know what God has done to save you? Do you understand what Jesus did? Could you articulate it? Could you explain it to another? This is what Jesus did to save my soul. Then you have the knowledge of salvation, the helmet of salvation. It puts out a million lies, and you've got the sword. You've got the word of God. Not just the word of God just sitting over there. It's the word of God believed. It's the word of God trusted. It's the word of God lived into. That is the sword of the Spirit. The armor of God, the full armor of God. All of these, as is often pointed out, protect you on the front. These protect you on the front, the armor of God. When you are standing firm against the struggle and the battle, not when you're running scared, turning in fright. You don't need to be afraid. You need to be aware that you are on the battlefield and you need to stand strong. That's the battle. That's its characteristics. That's our equipment, the armor of God. What's our strategy? What's our action plan? What are we going to do? How do we win this battle? We win this battle on our knees. Prayer. Look at this now. Verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. all kinds. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray. Pray at every opportunity. Pray every kind of prayer, every manner of prayer, every kind of request. You don't have to sift your requests. You just pray them up before the Lord. You pray in every single way possible, and you keep praying, and you keep alert in prayer because you're on the battlefield. And pray for the church. Pray for the people of God all around the world. Pray, pray. And then he says, pray also for me, verse 19, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Yes, pray for your pastor. Pray for all your pastors. Pray for your teachers. Pray for anyone who will stand and declare the truth of the gospel in our times. Pray. And when you have done everything, stand in a spirit of prayer. Amen? Pray. Today is Pentecost, as Pastor Greg mentioned. You might not know Pentecost. It's an annual part of the church calendar where we remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the early church. It looked like this in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is a remarkable moment. And what I want you to know is this: it still applies. It applies to us. It applies to you right now. The same Spirit of God that was poured out on that church is poured out right here as we gather in the name of Jesus. God dwells with us. You know, in the Old Covenant, the temple in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, was a physical manifestation of the presence of God among his people. And the ark that was within it, the ark, the box that kept the relics of God's mighty acts, the Ten Commandments and things. This is a physical manifestation of the presence of God. But now, in Christ, if you believe in Christ, if you've opened your heart to Christ, what has happened? The Holy Spirit of God is now within you. God is within you. And you, do you know what you are? You're the ark. You're the temple. And wherever you go, if you're in Christ, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've opened your life to Christ, if you have not said yes to Jesus, that's what you need to do. Because what's within you is an empty place where Jesus is meant to reside. But if you've opened your heart to Christ and believed in him, the Holy Spirit is at work within you. Wherever you go, you are the temple. You are the ark of God, his very presence, moving through the world. You don't find a lot of Dagon worshipers these days, do you? Anybody know a Dagon worshiper? There used to be piles of them. There were so many that they actually had a temple and they had a nice statue of their god Dagon in a city called Ashdod. You can read about it in 1 Samuel. Because at one time they sort of parked the ark in that temple just for a minute, just for a while. And this is what happened. So then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and his hands had been broken off. They were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. Listen, if the ark, a box containing the relics of God's mighty act, if the ark has that kind of power, what about a soul in whom the very Holy Spirit of the Lord God Almighty resides? You are the ark. We've been going through this series in 40 days of prayer I'm so happy that the pastors didn't want to just talk about prayer. We wanted to lead you in experiences of prayer and prayer times and different prayer activities. And one of them was prayer walks that we took through the city. And Pastor Ellen, she gave a training on prayer walks. This is how we're going to do it. And one of the terms in her class was the term parking the ark. Parking the ark. Park the ark. That you're just going to go. Wherever you go, you're conveying the power and the presence of God, like in front of Dagon. And so wherever you go, you can go to places and just, oh, you don't have to, you just park the ark. You just stand there and demons run and idols fall in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. I know a woman in this church who's known to sit in her kids' rooms when they're off at school from time to time and just pray fervently for them in tears. What is she doing? She's parking the ark and letting the demons run and the idols fall. We've walked through a number of different practices of prayer together. You know, just silence. We did silence. And then prayers of praise and thanksgiving. We talked through a rhythm of prayer called ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And then we talked about interior and exterior prayer, and we did that together. And last week we went through the prayer of examine. If you want to go through, if you want to learn any of these, they're all on the website, and you can watch back on these sermons and learn these patterns of prayer. Today I just want to leave you with one more. It's the easiest one. You're never going to forget this. I'm just going to say it once. It's never going to drop out of your head. Do you know what it's called? Park the ark. Say it with me. Park the ark. Wherever you go, you're conveying the presence of the living God. Just park the ark. And demons run and idols fall. When we come back, when we're done, we're going to gather out here. The church is coming back. We're going to gather up and we're going to gather around the church in little prayer pods for a while. And then at about 12:55 or so, we're gonna take hands in one big circle, and we're gonna pray. And what are we doing? We're just parking the ark. Amen. Parking the ark. Right here in the corner of Weber and Bijou in Nevada. God, the presence of the living God would be in the heart of our city. Demons run. Idols fall. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Put on the full armor of God and be strong in the Lord and be bold to pray for victory against dark spiritual powers. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not just for Pentecost, it's for us today, now. We are the people of God in this place, in this time. Park the ark of the living God. Pray for spiritual victories. And you say, but what if I don't see them? What if the prayers are not answered? Well, what do we do then? We wait. We do that thing I was talking about. We wait. Why? Because the war is won. The victory belongs to the Lord, but the battle still rages. We're still in the battle. We're still in the battlefield. And we wait for all of God's promises to become in Jesus Christ, yes and amen. Tyler Staton, the pastor who wrote the book Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, he said, don't worry, church. There's no prayer that's forgotten by God or lost under his care. He holds on to them. Look at this in Revelation chapter 5. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are what? The prayers of God's people. There's these golden bowls that are before the Lamb of God. And your prayers are in those bowls. And he doesn't spill a single drop of them. They don't spill a drop. And then what happens? The smoke of the incense in chapter 8 of Revelation. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Friends, listen to me. Do you understand? How does the end of the world come? How does the kingdom of God get established? How are all things put right in the end? In the day of the Lord Jesus, all of your prayers that have been stored up in heaven in these golden bowls before the throne of the Lord, not a single one of them has been forgotten. Not a single drop of them has been lost. In the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, those prayers are taken up by the angel of the living God, and they are joined with the fire of all praise, and they are sent down on this earth like a firebomb. And your prayers on that day, we see everything that is wrong made right. We see every sickness is over. We see sin and death come to an end. We see injustice taken off the face of the earth, and justice established, and peace and righteousness and goodness and joy and love and beauty and truth in the name of Jesus Christ is established, is built, and everything that is crooked is made straight, and everything that is broken is made fixed. And the glory of the Lord covers the earth like the waters that cover the sea. You see that? And the kingdom of God is established and all is made right by your prayers poured out on earth. Keep praying. Stand firm. Put on the full armor of God. And when you have done everything, stand. And know the victory is won. The war is over. You're still in the battle, but Jesus has won it, because when he was dying on the cross, he drew one last breath and he said, "It is finished." And he meant it. Stand firm in a spirit of prayer. Amen. So let's pray and spend just a little time sharing with God what we would like held in those golden bowls in heaven. Lord, there's things that we haven't seen yet that we want to see. Good things, Jesus, that we've prayed in your name. Good things. We've prayed for good reason to a good God, for a good kingdom. We want to see them, Lord. So, Lord, gather these prayers up and keep them, hold them in your golden bowls in heaven for us. Lord, I know for me, I want to see some things. I want to see my dear friend Brian cancer-free and standing in strength and joy with his family. I want to see my friend Bob back at work making beautiful artwork. I want to see my friend Jim living in your word and teaching others the glories of your truth. I want to see my niece standing with all of her children in joy. Lord, I want to see your church pure and spotless, blameless and free. In all the splendor and glory of the bride of Christ, I want to see your church that way. Lord, I want to see your people at peace in a kingdom of righteousness and justice. To the glory of the name of Jesus. There's so much we want to see, Lord. Maybe just in your own heart, just something that you want God to hold. Just offer it to him in prayer, what you want to see. Father, we know and we trust and we believe. Not a tear is lost, not a prayer is lost, not a prayer is forgotten. Gather these prayers up, Lord, in the golden bowls of the heavenly realms. The elders stand before the throne of the Lamb, saying, glory, glory, and hallelujah to the name, for he has won. Father, keep these prayers until the day of the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep those prayers until the day of the Lord breaks and the sun rises on the day that never ends. And by the power of God, the angel of the living God gathers all those prayers and pours them out across the face of this broken earth, and everything wrong is put right. And all death is over, and all sin is done, and all sickness is gone, and we stand in the glory of your presence and in the joy of your kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Lord, keep these prayers. And until that day, help us stand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting Him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week, and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.